Speaking of ministry, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 15 through 18. You can't imagine the relief that I had when I found out I had two preaching slots that I could use tonight. What a blessing. Amen. And I know I can tell you're looking forward to that as well. Here we go, Colossians chapter 4. He says in verse 15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. And I'm sorry, but if there's a guy named Nymphas, you got to greet him. No question about it. Verse 16, when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Very quickly, we see, it has been pointed out, well, I think that there's a connection between the book of Colossians and the Laodicean church. And Laodicea was near Colossae, and it's mentioned five times in the book of Colossians. And so that means, prophetically, the Laodicean church is the last church on the earth before the rapture. And we have a connection here, a special connection, with the book of Colossians. A lot of great information for the Laodicean church, being close to them and being mentioned. He says in verse 17, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you, amen. Now, we know that Archippus here is called in Philemon, called a fellow soldier. And other than that reference to the book of Philemon, this is the only reference we have in Colossians chapter 4. I want to preach to you tonight about fulfilling your ministry. Fulfilling your ministry. He told Archippus, and by the way, he said to the church of the Colossians, he said to them, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Let's talk about ministry. What is ministry? A minister is a servant. And if you need to remember what being a minister is all about, just mispronounce the word, minus, because it comes from the same word. It means less. It means a servant. Someone who is minus. Minus what? Minus some of the stuff that people should be giving us. Respect. Obedience. Money. But we're ministers, so we're minus. Now, if you're like me, I'm overly and abundantly blessed. I've been very well taken care of by the people of God at our place. And I have more than I deserve, for sure. Amen. And I have more than I need. I'm very blessed. But isn't it interesting how I can take something like the ministry that's supposed to be less and service-oriented, and I can make it about me? And so the ministry is a job that a servant is commissioned to do. We talk about the ministers of various departments in our government. It's an office that we are commissioned to perform for a certain length of time. And I don't know about you what it's like down here. I haven't been to too many restaurants down here, and at least not in recent days. Up where we are in Toledo, it seems like service is in short supply. I don't know what happened. I guess people like sitting at home during COVID and getting paid for doing nothing. And they kind of got this idea that, you know what, I don't really like going out and doing anything. And it seems like service is in a really short supply. And every little tiny thing that they do, they want to be tipped for it. I handed you a bag out the window. Can I get a tip for that? Is there anything you could give me for that? I said, no, just do your job. I'm going to give you a tip for everything. Right? Sometimes when I'm having a really hard day, the one joy of my life is to say, no tip on the screen. No tip. No tip. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now, we have a lot of people who are service-minded. I think of our servicemen, servicewomen. That's what we call them. Servicemen. It's because that's their job, to serve our country. Medical professionals who serve the sick, caretakers who serve the elderly. Thank God for them. We have teachers who serve our children and help serve the parents. I think mothers do a lot of service. Amen. Mothers go above and beyond. And of course, fathers as well serve their families. Serving is performing the required task to completion. Performing the required task to completion. It's not coming up with what you think you should do and do it as long as you feel like it. It's performing the required task. And here, Archippus is told to fulfill the ministry that he's received. Now, in Scripture, we find that ministry is service to the Lord. Minister is often used in the Old Testament in connection with the Levites and the tabernacle and temple. And it's actually called their service or their ministry. Their ministry was the physical actions that they took in their official capacity. So here we see Archippus, and I see three parts here in this passage to Archippus, and it applies to our ministry as well. There is, number one, the giver of Archippus' ministry, who is the Lord. There is the gift of Archippus' ministry, what he had been given to do. And then there is the goal of Archippus' ministry, what the giver of the gift expected from the gift that he gave. There was an expectation of the gift. First of all, let's look at the giver of ministry. And if you would, take your Bible to the first chapter of Colossians. We see the giver of ministry. He said there, the ministry which thou hast received, where? In the Lord. Archippus received a ministry in the Lord. Can I tell you the most important thing about Archippus was that he was in the Lord. He was in the Lord. Where did he receive the gift of ministry? In the Lord. Colossians 1 verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption. Where do we have redemption? In Christ. We think about sometimes we have an idea of Christ being added into our life. Added in. That he's a bonus. You could just click the little plus symbol and add Jesus for like $7 more or something. It's a great deal. You want Jesus on your plan. That's how we think. The truth is, Jesus is the plan. I'm in Christ. Because of that, I have life. Isn't it true? He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. Look at chapter 2, verse number 6. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye, where? In him, verse 7, rooted and built up, how? In him, and established in the faith. Look at chapter 3, verse number 3. He said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In God. He said, it's not I that liveth. He said, Christ is our life. We understand that, but we don't understand it. Because everything flows from our identity in Christ. The ministry is not the Lord, and the Lord is not the ministry. You see, believers, those of us that are in what we call full-time ministry or vocational ministry, we sometimes think it's all one and the same. But may I remind you and I tonight that our identity is in Christ. And if we were never to ever preach or teach again in a public setting to a group of people, our identity in Christ would change not a bit. It's easier said than done. People say, I can't imagine my life outside of the ministry. You know what that means? The Lord and the ministry have become one thing in your mind. And they're not the same. Archippus received a ministry because he was in the Lord. God is very gracious. But you think about, even in the Old Testament, there was a cyclical pattern. There was a rotation that happened. And that's helpful. Why? It's not helpful just so we can, you know, run people around in a, you know, a circle. It's helpful because it reminds us that it's a privilege to have a ministry. It's a privilege. It's not a right. It's not an obligation by some people. No, nobody appreciates me. If people really knew how good I was. No. You don't receive the ministry from the church. You don't receive it from a group of people who like you. You receive the ministry in the Lord. And if God gives you a ministry and then takes it away, guess what? You haven't changed your identity at all. And you think, well, I get up there. If I could just get up there, if people would just recognize how amazing I am. Now, again, you probably never thought that, but I've thought that. And it's obvious people still don't recognize how amazing I am. And I'm standing up here. If I could just get there, I would be able to really live. And Scripture says to you, that's not true. Why? Because if you're in Christ, you are already as alive as you ever will be. And I'm happy to report to you tonight, he said, I am alive forevermore. Aren't you glad of that? We have the ability to stand and say, I'm as saved as I ever will be right now. I have as much joy available to me as I ever will have. Why? In Christ. Christ is the one that gives us these gifts. The context of a believer's ministry is his identity in Jesus Christ. There's only one source of ministry. God. He calls. He empowers. He directs. I am not more important because I have a ministry. I may feel more important, but that shows what I think of my God. Because he said, I am your identity. I am your life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He is my life. When I look at him and I say, Lord, I'm thankful for salvation and sanctification. I'm thankful for justification. I'm thankful for redemption and adoption. I'm thankful for all that stuff. But man, if you could just give me a ministry, I'd be so much happier. It shows what we think about Jesus Christ. And if God were to take away a ministry, and you were no longer the grand poobah, who would I be? I'd be a stumbling idiot, bumbling around. Who's to say you're not doing that right now? Who would I be? I'll tell you who you would be. The same person that you became the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. A child of God. A son of God who will live forever. And that will never change no matter who leaves your church. No matter how many times you can't remember and do the things that you used to do. It doesn't matter. You're alive in Christ. Archippus received this ministry in the Lord. And then let's look next at the gift of ministry. If you would, he says back there in chapter 4, you can see in verse 17, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received. It was in the Lord that he received it, but the Lord was separate from this gift of ministry. Archippus was in the service of the Lord, but he was given a job to do by the Lord. Notice that it was something that he received. It was a gift. It was an honor. Sometimes I've looked at my ministry as inevitable. I've been in church all my life. And I've been in quote-unquote ministry. I should say I was raised in my father's ministry all my life. And sometimes you can think, you know, kind of makes sense. The problem with that is it's a welfare mentality. Somebody needs to do for me. I deserve this. And the truth of the matter is I don't deserve it. My identity is Christ. And he has given me something to do in his body. And what a privilege it is. Can you imagine how difficult it is for God to think of stuff for us to do? You ever have people crowd around, what can I do to help? I'm like, honestly, if you were not to help, that would be a help. right? Can you imagine us, you know, we think we're so great. What does God think about us? He looks at it like, man, I'm scratching my brain here. I'm trying to think of something you could do that wouldn't hurt the body of Christ. I'm coming up with nothing right now. But just wait in prayer. We'll see what we can do. He had been given us, and it was a privilege. It's a privilege for you and I to be in the ministry. A privilege. What does that mean? I don't deserve it. How much of our hearts can say, I don't deserve this? I really don't. You know, a lot, some of that, the things, the actions, the situations with people kind of take the edge off of that, I don't deserve it. And then it starts to feel like a seesaw. We're starting to get some equality here. Yeah, I don't deserve it, but I didn't deserve that either. So kind of balance it out here. I mean, I it's a gift, and that's for sure, but I didn't sign up for that. And you can't tell me that was God's will, and you can't tell me that was fair. So, I mean, we're kind of even, God. Like, I see it as a privilege and all, but you know that stuff right there just kind of helps to balance it out. We got to be careful of that, don't we? Isn't that true that he said, for even here and two were you called? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should retire with a great 401(3B). You know, 403B, forgive me. He said Christ left as an example that we should retire with honors. That's not the example that Christ left. Christ left as an example that we should follow in his steps. What was that? To suffer. To suffer. And sometimes suffering seems that it is unwarranted. It probably is. Well, we don't have a problem with receiving gifts that are unwarranted. And honor and respect that is unwarranted. We think it just comes with the position, right? Well, suffering does too. Heartache does too. It's a gift. It's a privilege. The ministry that we've received is not just for, and I want to point this out, and my heart is for the church tonight, not only for those who are visiting guests, but I want you to look, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man be where? In Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Where they become new? In Christ. Well, you're supposed to stop smoking the moment you get saved. Well, in Christ, you did. In Christ, you quit every sin that you've ever committed. You have the nature of Christ now. You're a new creature in Christ. Every man, all things, any man, he says, look at verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me ask you, to whom is he writing? He's writing to the church. He's writing to every believer. If any man be in Christ. You say, well, I'm not in the ministry. Are you in Christ? Are you saved? You're in the ministry. The ministry of what? The ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling with your spouse. Reconciling with your kids. Reconciling with your neighbors. With your extended family. Reconciling with your community. Why? For the purpose of reconciling them to God. Not just being friends with everyone. Not just being the nice guy in the block. Reconciling the world to Jesus Christ. Every believer has that privilege. And we, as pastors, are only given the privilege of helping you succeed in that. That is the only reason why we have a position, is to help you in your ministry of reconciliation. That kind of knocks the sand out of us a little bit, doesn't it? You're not here for us. We're here for you. We're here to help you bring people back to God. What a privilege that is. Every believer. Well, I'm not a preacher. Are you saved? If you're saved, you're as saved as any preacher you've ever heard. And maybe more than some I've heard. And you have an opportunity, yay, a privilege to reconcile. And where does it start? It starts with your neighbor. The closest neighbor I have is my wife. She tries to build walls and fences to keep me out, but I just keep knocking them down. Reconcile to my spouse. Reconcile to my children. Reconcile even, hold your ears, church members, to people in my church, the irritating ones. Reconcile. And that is the ministry that encompasses all of the Christian life, recognizing who I am in Christ and then helping others to recognize the same. What a privilege it is. And then we see here in this point, the ministry. I want you to look at chapter 1, if you would, verse number 7. There is a specific ministry that is mentioned here, Colossians 1, verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. It appears that Epaphras was the pastor there in Colossae. He was a faithful minister. And who was he for? It tells us in verse 7, for you, a faithful minister. The pastor's job is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. I'm here for you. We've got to turn this thing around. What was the name of the coach for the dream team? It was Chuck Daly. Right? You know what? Nobody cares about Chuck Daly. Why? Because it wasn't about him. But I can tell you this, the first scrimmage they had, they played with North Carolina or Duke, I think it was Duke. They brought some college students in, and the college students ran those boys out of the gym, the pro players. Why? They weren't ready to play together. And Michael Jordan was sitting on the bench. I will put that in as well. But he had to make a point to them. He had to tell them, you're going to play that game, but I'm going to help you play that game. And if you listen to me, you can win. And they did, handily. Man, I remember that. 1992 Barcelona gold. What a year. Why? It was an example, and forgive me for the carnal illustration, but it was an example of a pastor. A pastor is not there to play the game. He's not there to shine. He's there to help you shine. He's there to help you win the gold in heaven someday at the judgment seat of Christ. That's the role of the pastor. And that takes the weight off of my shoulders. Yes, I want to be an example to believers. Yes, I got to know what I'm talking about. But at the end of the day, my job is to help you look better and to play better and to work better together so that you can bring glory to Jesus Christ in this church. The ministry of the pastor. We have the ministry in chapter 1, verse 23 of the gospel. Paul said, I made a minister of the gospel. In chapter 2, verse 19, you have the ministry to the saints. Oh my. Look at that, if you would, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. He says, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. You know one thing I don't like? I don't like people putting bands on me. I don't like having to be controlled by someone else, but that is exactly the intent that God has for his people. To be put together in joints where one can't move without affecting the other. He wants us to be so close together. What will that do? It will minister nourishment to us. We will be blessed and helped and maybe curtailed and kept safe by these joints and bands. It's a ministry. God knits us together. I can see my mother. She was from New York. I overemphasize the accent because people love it. But she had it. She would say, knit one, purl one. One, she'd look over, one, two, three, four. She's taking this ball and she is putting it together in a beautiful pattern. That's what God's doing with you. That's what God's doing with his church. He is knitting them together. What was originally a long line, never the twain shall meet. What was originally stretched out in a linear fashion, the Lord weaves together with deaths, with births, with sorrows, with joys, with losing a job, with getting a promotion, with the birth of a new child, with the loss of a loved one. God knits us together with souls saved, with hearts that are yearning for God to save someone in our family. We work together and God nourishes us and ministers to us through those joints and bands. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. That this ministry is a personal ministry. It's a gift that is personally given. You see, Archippus, it says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Thou. I have a question for you. What ministry hast thou received in the Lord? Do you have a ministry that God wants you to fulfill? Or let me guess, a little cynicism coming here, or a little sarcasm. Let me guess, you're special. You're different. You've sinned so much, you're so cold-hearted, or you've seen a lot. You've been down the road. You were raised in church. Your grandpappy was a preacher. You've seen it all. But, okay, sarcasm over with. God's given you a ministry. And it's not a ministry, I mean, listen, I'm all for getting people saved, but it's not like, hey, my ministry, and I need you to support me. I go to Hunter's on opening day and I give him gospel tracts. Please send me monthly support. I'm sorry. Sometimes there's so many things attached to the gospel blimp that it can't even fly anymore. It's amazing. But I'm not saying you shouldn't use what God's given you and your opportunities and all that. How about this? He said, take heed to the ministry that thou hast received, that thou fulfill it. Why are you trying to get everybody on board? Why are you sending out mass emails? Hey, everybody show up. Hey, everybody. My pastor won't even mention my ministry from the pulpit. How about you personally, singular, thou fulfill thy ministry? And then let the Lord build it if he wants to. The ministry to the saints. So you have the believer's personal ministry. And we understand from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that there are diversities of gifts. And the Holy Spirit gives each of them, dividing to every man severally as he will. I had a man tell me once that my gift is a curse. Why? What I am good at, I don't like doing. And I don't want to do it because people use me to do it. Well, I would say, either one, you start getting good at something else, or you go and you start complaining to God for giving you that gift. A lot of people get stuck in their Christian life because they're whining and complaining about what God has gifted them to do, because what they really want is to do that gift over there. I would love, by the way, singing is great. I grew up doing it. But we got to stop talking about singing and music as a gift. It's not mentioned in Scripture as a gift. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. But you want to know what would be, to me, as important in that? A helps ministry? The nursery? The kitchen? Hey, the grounds? Visiting the sick? These are much closer to the ministry of helps. Music is wonderful, don't get me wrong. But God exhorts all believers to sing to one another. Amen. Right? We've got to be careful. We elevate certain things as more important gifts. But at the end of the day, God has given each a gift, and as my mom would say, nobody's more important than the other. We're all at a different stage of growth. But we all look at one another and we say, boy, if I had her life, if I had her husband, if I had her husband or his wife, or I had their house or their ministry or their kids or their opportunities, I could really shine. Be careful. God has given us personally something that he wants us to use. Here's something very practical, if you would, for a moment. How do you determine your gift? This is my take on it. You can talk to your pastor. Here's what I see. It's comprised of two things. Number one, your spiritual desires, not your carnal desires. Your spiritual desires, and number two, evidence of God's blessing. What do you want to do to help others to Jesus Christ? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Scripture tells us, a man's gift maketh room for him. You don't have to make room for your gift. Your gift makes room for itself. What do people continually ask you to do? That's evidence of God's blessing. Well, I don't know why people don't ask me to do that. Maybe you do know why. In your heart. because God is not really intending for you to do that. Now, if you want to struggle for the rest of your Christian life and say, I really wish I could, and it's just a downtime in my life, I'm just a downturn, and nobody understands me, and one of these days I'm going to rise to the top, and people, you can do that if you want. That's a really rough life. I'd rather just find out what people are asking me to do, and I can tell, yeah, that's something that would encourage God's people. That's a blessing. I see the evidence of that. I'd rather tune my desires into what I can see God using me to do, rather than try to get God or force him to let me do something that I really want to do. Just get in synchronicity with God. And lastly tonight, the expectation, the goal of the gift. 4:17, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Take heed, take heed, take heed, take heed. Take heed, take heed. What is that? That's an irritation. It's an alarm that continues to go off. It's something that just reminds you and reminds you and reminds you. By the way, you need to come to church every week. You need to come to church every service, as many services as you can. Why? You need someone to be irritating to your flesh. Take heed, take heed, take heed. And your flesh is going to say, oh, let me guess. I know this message. I've heard it. I've got it in my Bible. And by the end of it, the Lord has stirred the embers of your heart. Why? It's God saying, take heed, because he has an expectation from us. He is telling us, I have something I've given you, and I expect something from it. God did not give you your gift to make you look good in the eyes of other people. He gave you your gift to make him look good in the eyes of other people. And so now that you have this gift, you got to get on it. You got to use it. You got to fulfill it. God expects a return on his investment in you and me. He came back looking for that from those servants to whom he gave the talents. And he said, I'm going to return. I'm going to come back and I expect you to turn an investment here, to turn a profit here on this investment I'm making in you. And I go back in my life and I remember when I was very young, and I was handed an instrument. And I was told to play it, and I did. And if I didn't play it, I was told in other ways to play it. And I would play it, and I would practice, and I would work on it. And why? Not because I wanted to, but because that was what we did as a family. It was our family business slash ministry. It's what we did. And I remember as I got older, I started realizing that I started feeling sometimes like a trained bear. You know, just put them up on the stage and everybody will be happy and it'll be great. And it felt to me like I was just a cog in the machine. I was one of a lot. I'm one of 10 kids. You know, we're up there, we're playing. But as a teenager, I began to pull away from that, and I began to think, you know, I'm certainly going to have to do this, but I don't really enjoy it. It's not necessarily fun. Until it began to dawn on me that I had a personal God who was personally invested in me and had an expectation for me personally. That God was expecting a return on his investment in me. And that when he came back, when I finally see him face to face, he is going to give me a grade card based on what I did with what he gave me. In other words, it wasn't about what I wanted to do with my life, but what he wanted me to do with my life. You see, Christian, believer, fellow pastor, or pastor's wife, the ministry that we've received it in the Lord, but we've received it with an expectation. He desires for us to fill it full, to fulfill our ministry. Well, how full is full? I think only the Lord can tell you that. But I think you have a pretty good idea. God can tell you where you are. You know, I'm glad that we don't have to guess how much gas is in the tank. You ever driven like that? I'm a little bit of a skeptic when it comes to gas gauges. I look at that and I'm said, there's more in there. I look at that line, I say, that's how they get you. That's also the reason why I've been stranded by the side of the road. Because I can make it. And I can't make it. You know what I need to do? I need to go back to the one who gave me that ministry. And I need to get filled up so that I can fulfill my ministry. I cannot put into my ministry what I have not received from God. And if I go to God and I say, God, this was your idea. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm afraid they know that too. Would you help me? The Lord says, would I help me? Help you? How about this? How about I use you as an instrument instead of you using me as the power? I'll use you to do, and I always heard about you being used of God. I was like, I like that idea. I thought it was emphasis was on me. No, the emphasis is on used. Used of God. You ever feel used? Well, I don't mind being used by God. It's these people. No. God intends to use us to help people, to use us to build people up, to perfect the saints. And if you have not been used by people, you have probably not been used by God. When you are used by people and you do it for Christ's sake, you know what you're doing? You are being used by God. Now, I don't want to be used by people, and I do everything I can to avoid that. But ministry of reconciliation doesn't really provide much relief from being used. Why? You have to leave the comfort zone and you have to go out. Imagine, if you will, a squad of EMTs, firemen, of policemen who refused to leave the station. Why? Because it was so nice there. And yet sometimes as believers, we want to hold back from God the very commission that He has given to us. We want to sit in the church. We want to sit in our homes. We want to sit in our schedules. We want to sit in our lazy lifestyles and say, God, listen, it's dangerous out there. And I ain't got time for that. The Lord said, hold on just a second. Don't you understand? That is the only reason you're on the payroll. The only reason why you're in Christ is because I want you to follow my example. And if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, we will indeed follow His life of obscurity and notoriety and ridicule and persecution, and death. But oh, thank the Lord, we also get to experience His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. The life that we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. We have a privilege of joining in the very life of Jesus Christ Himself. And that means that you and I must fulfill the ministry. Why? Jesus Christ fulfilled His. He finished His course. He went all the way to the cross. What causes our ministries to go unfulfilled? Forgetfulness? Fear of failure? Laziness? Weariness? Distractions? The list is endless. But no ministry is fulfilled until the minister has done what he was supposed to have done and finished his course. The Colossians are told here to tell Archippus to make full proof of his ministry. Prove it. Prove it that God is real. Prove it that Jesus Christ is enough. Prove that He still saves souls. Prove that His word will effectually work in you that believe. Prove it. Tonight, I ask us, are we proving it? Are we ready to go back to our homes and our churches and say, Lord, I can't, but You can. Lord, I don't know what I am going to do about this situation, but I'm thankful that this is the ministry that You've put me in, and I will do my best to fulfill it. What ministry have you received in the Lord? I'll tell you, people will never fulfill you. The ministry will never fulfill you. Only the Lord can fulfill you. Our example is Christ, who said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. My desire is to go back to Toledo and thank God for this meeting and thank God for the Spirit and the instruction I've received. To go back and say, Lord, thank you for putting me, a saint, into the ministry. Thank you, God, for allowing me just a small place of encouraging other believers as we seek to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord, not to get lazy. I don't know what knocked Archippus off. I'm assuming something had knocked him off just a little bit, so he had to be reminded. Take heed. He didn't tell Archippus, stop sinning. Stop being an idiot, Archippus. Would you stop doing that? He didn't tell him. He just said, take heed. Fulfill it. Fulfill it. I want to get the job done, so one day I can hear, well done. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me tonight? Father, I thank you for the chance to preach here. I thank you for the opportunity. But I want to thank you for what you've done for us. It's phenomenal. You just keep getting better and better. Everything I learn about you makes me love you more. And I want to do what you want me to do. And I know these people do as well. But Lord, sometimes we get burdened down. Sometimes we have to endure a contradiction of sinners against ourselves. Sometimes the greatest sinner we know is ourself. We feel like we can't do it. Lord, I pray for strength tonight. I pray for a proper understanding of what we are asked to do. And then help us to remember that we've received this ministry from you. And Lord, if you'll work this through us, we will yield our bodies, we will yield our minds, and we will yield our very souls to you so that you can accomplish this ministry of reconciliation. Give us strength. Give us humility. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.